Greg Smith, Devon Funds Management, with us. Morning, Greg.
Good morning, Heather.
Hey, how's that immigration out of the country looking?
Yeah, those migration tailwinds are certainly fading. So Stats New Zealand reported on Friday that net migration gain for the October 2024 year was 38,800. Now, that's down 71% compared with the same period a year ago, which was a peak. And if you take out the COVID years, it's the lowest since 2013. So, look, there's still plenty of people coming into New Zealand. That's relatively high in historic terms, but that's also down 28% on the record levels a year ago. But departures are also surging, so up 32%, record high of 131,000. So breaking this down, Heather, look, the brain drain continues. Kiwis were leaving in droves still, a reverse, of course, what happened during COVID. So a net 53,000 Kiwis left long-term, 25,000 came back, but 78,000 left, which is a record. Now, we've always been quite flighty, I suppose you'd say, but we're increasingly seeking greener pastures. You have to look at the drivers. It's a function of the economy. People can earn more elsewhere. Unemployment is rising. It's falling, as an example, across the Tasman. We've got tradies moving there, is just one example. And there are some positives, I suppose, if you want to look at it from that point of view, in terms of removing a source of inflationary pressure. I suppose also alleviates the strain on housing demand. But, yeah, the no getting away from it. A slowing population is a handbrake on economic growth and consumption. Current levels were still 10,000 above the long-term average, but we're going to be heading below that. So, look, very concerning. There's no quick fix, but, you know, it does show the imperatives of trying to get the economy going again and providing more reasons for Kiwis to stay than there are currently.
Yeah, too right. Would agree with you on that. Listen, we've got another company making it into the $1 trillion market cap club, have we?
Yeah, we certainly have. So this is in the US. This is Broadcom. So they become the eighth company to do so on Friday. Their shares were up 24%. Earnings beat, upbeat outlook. They saw revenues increase 51% to $14 billion. So Broadcom, it's a chip maker. They made quite a few acquisitions in recent years since they've become more of a infrastructure business in terms of software, and this is really paying off, particularly given all the hype and demand around AI. So their infrastructure software division that saw revenues of $5.8 billion, so that nearly tripled last year's. If you look at their AI revenues, they surged 150%, so doing very well there. And they shipped shipments to their sort of three hyperscale customers, and they're believed to be Meta, Alphabet, and TikTok parent ByteDance. They soared, and they in fact doubled in terms of year on year. They're upbeat about the outlook. They see infrastructure software and revenue in the current quarter rising 41%. AI revenues jumping 65%, so investors really like that. They do compete with AI darling NVIDIA to an extent, but their point of differentiation in terms of Broadcom is that their more expensive AI chips can enable AI infrastructure to work 20 to 30% faster and use 25% less power. So that positioning certainly appears to be paying off. Their shares have more than doubled in value this year.
Greg, what do you reckon the Bank of England's going to do this week?
Well, yeah, they're in a bit of a quandary, really, because inflation has actually gone back above their 2% target. So it hit 2.3% in October, sharpest rise in 2 years. You've got the new government's tax and spending plans. Not only added to the uncertainty around inflation, but then on the other side, yeah, the economy is really slowing. So, in fact, the UK economy contracted in October. So, and that was for the second consecutive month. It had been expected to grow. So decline was weaker manufacturing, weaker mining, construction's also lower. Services sector, you know, that used to be a real strong grower. That showed no growth during the month. So, yeah, it's hard to see the Bank of England cutting. They did already cut in August and November. And I just think with that inflation increase, they're going to have to just stay where they are, despite the economy. Yeah. Meanwhile, when you look at Europe, they did cut rates last week, and they've noted that Trump's tariff plans could add a new layer of uncertainty. And this was highlighted again by the Bundesbank on Friday. They warned of a shrinking German economy. And it's actually been estimated that if Trump's plans on tariffs are put through in their current form, it could take 1% off German economic output. So that could also tip Europe further into contraction. So not great news there. And fairly nervous times for Europe here.
Too right. All right, give us the numbers.
Yeah, so just on Friday, we slipped a little bit in terms of the Dow. That was down 0.2%, 43,828. S&P 500 was flat, 6,051. NASDAQ up 0.12%, 19,926. Helped by Broadcom there. FTSE 100, that was down 0.14%, 8,300. Nikkei down 1% in Japan, 39,470. ASX 200 down 0.4%, 8,295. We had a good day in New Zealand. NZX 50 was up 0.5%, 12,759. Commodities, gold up $33, $2,648 an ounce. oil down $1.30, 71.30 a barrel. Currencies, Kiwi was even against the A dollar, 90.6. Against the US dollar, down slightly, 57.6. Against sterling, we're up 0.4%, 45.7. This week here, they've got plenty going on. Here we've got September quarter GDP data, so we'll see how our economy's faring. We've got dairy auction, we've got card spending data, we've got AGMs, ANZ and Napier Port. Offshore, we've got plenty of data out from the US and also from China, but we've got rate decisions and decisions as well from the Bank of Japan, Bank of England, and of course the Fed.
Brilliant stuff, Greg. Thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Greg Smith, Devon Funds Management.